What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 410, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that keeps this train rolling, I would say. With me, of course, is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
I didn't realize we were a train, but I'll tell you, it's fine.
You know what? Talking about the train, do you not miss the holiday train?
Oh my gosh, yes,
that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I feel like they, we appreciate anybody using our link to give us a
little, and isn't next month Prime Day?
Maybe.
I think next month is Prime Day. I haven't been buying a lot of stuff though lately. I feel like I just have everything. I really don't need anything. And I stopped
selling stuff. You've been getting rid of stuff.
I stopped taking like a lot of supplements and stuff because I'm doing this whole carnivore diet thing. So, so not buying supplements and stuff on Amazon either. But it's a good place to still buy hardware, things like that.
Sure.
For sure. So, lots to catch up on. Obviously, Computex. Last week we talked about a lot of stuff. This week we're going to cover a few more stories that I found that were really interesting. Again, there's so much coming out of Computex. We can't cover it all. Obviously, there are great sites, people who are actually there on the ground. I would suggest you guys check out their websites, check out their YouTube, all that kind of stuff. So many cool things. I think this year was a lot better than last year, in my opinion, as far as like what was being shown, the cool things that were being shown. I always feel like, I don't know what movie it's from, but it's from The Hangover, where he's like, "We're back." Like, I feel like we're back. Like this year at CES was really good, and then Computex is also really good. So I feel like PC hardware is back. So I'm pretty excited about that. So talking about that, we'll jump into reviews this week. And starting off, I took a look at this keyboard, which I am still using.
It's very fancy, especially up in that top right corner.
What? The screen. Has a screen on it and everything. So this is the ROG Azoth. And this keyboard has actually been out for a while, but they just... Oh, I got to log into the page. Hold on. they just announced the white version. So this colorway is new. They originally had it in black. Now they have it in the white, which I'm a huge fan of because I think the white colorway just looks really good sitting on a desk, especially if you do have like a more white kind of theme on your desk. It is going to go ahead and just look a lot better. Now I'm going to try to bring this up on the screen now once I refresh. Old man in the chat, he said, "I hear AI is the new hotness." Yeah, everything was named AI. AI was all over the WWDC announcement from Apple as well, which we are not going to cover this week because it's Apple and its phones and nobody cares. But talking about the ROG Azoth, I'm bringing up the review now so you guys can see. So
there it is.
One thing that's really interesting about this keyboard is I think that, you know, when this came out about a year ago, the black version, Asus was really trying to corner the sort of enthusiast keyboard market with a gaming keyboard. And I think that is kind of hard to do, but they did some really cool stuff with this, starting with like the accessories package. You get not only your keyboard and your cable, and you get a keycap puller, which is pretty standard on most mechanical keyboards, right? You get those things. But on top of that, you get three extra switches, which is actually really good because if you are pulling switches, like I pulled one out and then put it back in and then bent the pins and then it was done. So you get three extra switches, but you also get a full-on lubing station. You get extra actual lube to lube the switches. You get a tool to take the actual switch apart so you can do all of that, which is really cool as well. Really nice for those who are kind of getting into the whole, taking the keyboard apart and changing some things. And obviously you'll feel and hear a difference if you are lubing up your switches. Now the switches on this keyboard do come factory lube, but it's still like a nice practice and kind of getting into the whole custom keyboard thing. So I really like that from Asus. Now, but I will talk about at the end of the review why I'm not the biggest fan of all of this stuff, but we'll get to that at the end. So this is a 75% keyboard. So 75% is probably becoming my favorite keyboard size, because you still get your arrow keys down here and you still get your full function row, but the keyboard is still a lot smaller than a 10 keyless and also a lot smaller, of course, than a full size. The only thing you're really missing here is going to be your number pad. I'm not a big number pad user, so not the biggest deal to me. Now, for those wondering, you do have an aluminum top plate here, which is silver, but the rest of the keyboard is mainly plastic. So, you know, for those looking for like that all aluminum design, like we saw with the CyberPower keyboard, what was that last week? This one is, you know, it's still pretty hefty. It feels really good, but just the aluminum top plate. When it comes to the actual key caps, these are double shot PBT caps. Of course, as you can see, they're white and they do have the see-through legends on them. And of course, we have a hot swappable design with their own NX switches. So we have the snow version of their switches, which are a linear switch. They've kind of taken, you know, your normal style of switch and they've kind of just improved them a little bit. You can see more of the box design, which a lot of people do prefer. They're more simple than the normal stem design. So they've changed the switch up a little bit with their own style of switches. Really easy to pull these out. And they do have a nice switch puller, like a metal one that you're not going to accidentally like break the switch when you're pulling it out, which
so question, go back to that image real quick. I don't know, I wonder if this is true and if you pulled more than one switch, but like you have the S out there pulled and underneath on the PCB it looks like the letter S.
They're
all that it's everywhere on every nice. That's a cool feature.
I didn't even notice that, but yes, it is on all of them. So yeah, that's really cool as well, especially if you're really taking this whole thing apart and changing things out. You know where everything goes, which is really cool. So, and then one of the cool things about this keyboard now, typically in a 75% layout up here, normally you would have like a volume knob. We've seen that on a lot of keyboards. Yep. The new Corsair one we took a look at last month had the knob here. This one has a three-way kind of controller here. So this is a button that you can press in, and then you can press this up and press this back. By default, it's set to volume. So you press it up, volume up, you press it down, volume down. And then you also, like when you press it in, it will mute. And then we also get a OLED screen. So there is a 2-inch OLED screen, which I'll go over in just a second here. But again, that's going to display a bunch of different information and everything about the keyboard. Old man in the chat said, who makes the switches? So the switches themselves, I'm not sure who
they're Asus's.
Yeah, they're Asus's own, but I'm not sure if they're like made from Kale or something like that. The stem is Palm and the housing is the bottom housing is Palm as well. So they will get better over time. Which is a good thing. If you're not familiar with Palm, it's a type of polymer that kind of wears in over time, which I'm a huge fan of. I think let's see here real quick, Ryan. Let's see if we can see.
Yeah, I don't know if the switch the OEM is on those. I'm sure that they either way, like Asus had input into the design.
Yeah, so they changed them around.
Because they call them their NX switches. So, I mean, it could be that they, you know, paired up with Cherry and...
Yeah.
But I don't
know. They took an existing switch and modified it. I know that. Not sure. But we can definitely find that out, who actually, if they do make them through an OEM. But like Ryan said, they did make changes. Like, as you can see, the more box-style stem... So what happens on a lot of keyboards is that especially
page.
Oh, hey, I'm not sharing the page. So like I said, you have the box style stem. So what happens on a lot of keyboards, especially if you're playing fast paced FPS or your hands, your finger will wobble and you accidentally press the next key because the keycap will wobble a little bit. So this makes it more steady, which is definitely nice. So their NX switches have been sort of modified like that. And again, they're using a more palm material that will kind of get better over time, which is definitely a good thing with this keyboard. As far as adjustment, the keyboard does sit at a slight angle, and then you have two levels of adjustment with the pop-out feet, which is nice. I did mention this keyboard is fully wireless, so it's a tri-mode keyboard, so you can use it wired. There's a Type-C here, and then there is a switch and an included 2.4 gigahertz dongle, so you can use it wired, wireless 2.4 gigahertz with the included USB dongle, and then you can use it Bluetooth as well. So you can, you know, swap between different devices with this really easily. And then this Bluetooth or this 2.4 gigahertz dongle, you just plug it in your computer. It's going to work automatically, auto pairs. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to install any software. It will just work, which is really nice. Another thing about this keyboard too, and we've seen this a lot on a lot of newer gaming keyboards from sort of the, I would call them like the big names, like the Corsairs and the, you know, and obviously Asus, is we're finally getting like sound dampening and things built into the keyboard. Yep. So this, first it's a gasket mount design, then you have a silicone pad, then poron foam below that, and then you have a silicone foam below that. So you're not going to get all of that pinging that you might have been used to in like older keyboards from like maybe 2-3 years ago. You will have a good sound on this keyboard, and there is a sound test in the actual review itself. So really well thought out keyboard. It's finally good that we're seeing that. I remember reviewing my first mechanical keyboard that had that. I was like, oh my god, this feels so good. You're not getting any pinging or anything like that. And then just on the fingers, like when you're pressing down, you don't have that real abrupt stop that's just going to get annoying and like not like hurt your fingers, but it's just it's
not a solid. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, it's a really, really good feel. Now, like I said, this keyboard will work off the bats when you plug in the 2.4 gigahertz dongle, or if you plug it in USB, it's going to work no problem. Now, if you want to do customization, you will have to use the Asus Armory Crate software. If you use any type of Asus product, you're probably familiar with it. It will automatically be detected. You can do full remapping of the keyboard, really easy to go ahead and do that. They have a full macro editor. And if you have other Asus products like an Asus mouse, you can obviously save all your macros and use those macros on the mouse as well, which is pretty cool. Full per key RGB backlighting, really easy to go ahead and set like a basic effect. And then you could, of course, go into Asus's Aura Creator and do really custom effects if you want to. The lighting during the day, obviously, because, well, we do have see-through legends, like you're not going to see all that much during the day, but obviously at nighttime, you know, this keyboard's going to look great. And it, like I said, with no lights on, this keyboard looks awesome. So you have that. Now for the control knob, that three-way control knob. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different settings that are there by default, and you can swap between those. So like I said, by default, it's volume. Then you could do media track, so you can go back and forth with your, you know, media. Keyboard brightness, so you can go up and down with the keyboard brightness or press it in. That will turn, keep the lighting on the keyboard off. The OLED brightness, so that screen that we're going to talk about, you can turn that brightness up or down. And then you can switch the lighting effect. And then you can customize. So I was kind of bummed that there's only one customized section. So you can only set one custom setting for the knob, but you can pretty much remap it like you would remap any key. So pressing up, you can remap it to something. Pressing down, you can remap it to something. And then pressing in, you can also remap it to something. So pretty nice that you can have that custom function. I just would have liked to add like, you know, 6 of those down the line, not just the one custom function. Sure. If I wanted to, because again, you can easily swap between those. So it would have been nice. Now the OLED screen, it is pretty cool. So it's just white, much like my motherboard here. The Asus Crosshair motherboard has the same white sort of OLED screen. By default, it's going to show you you know, how you have the keyboard connected, whether it's wired, whether it's wireless, and then your like indication LEDs, whether it's caps lock, scroll lock, all that's going to be on here. And then it will indicate your controls for whatever you have the three-way knob set to. And then you can display something like an animation. So here's like a built-in animation. You can type like a whatever you want to type. So I just type Think Computers, ROG Azoth, and you can have that. You can do an audio visualizer. So I'm playing music here, and it's an audio visualizer for your music. And it will show like the name of whatever's playing too, much like our old MP3 players that we don't have anymore. And then you can have system stats. So based on what's available in your system, you can show two stats at once. You can also show just one stat on there. So, you know, I had CPU and GPU temperatures and frequencies and things like that. And if you can set like five or six of them, and it will cycle through them, which is pretty cool. So you can see the frequencies and stuff like that. And then you can put your own custom image on there. So there's like that's a cool Think Computers logo. One thing that is nice about this is that I don't feel like it's too bright and distracting. So like as I'm looking at it right now, it's not bright or distracting or anything like that. On top of that, your viewing angle on it is perfect. So I don't have to like
go
like that and look at it. I can see what it is. So it is at a good viewing angle. So I've seen some of these that have little screens on them and like you can't see it at all and you can't really make out what it is. So I do like that. You know, and then also in the software, of course, you know, this is a wireless keyboard, so you can see your battery. You can have it turn off after a certain amount of time so you don't kill your battery, stuff like that. You can go ahead and set in there as well. Really, like I said, really great keyboard to use. Like I said, I love 75%. It is very comfortable to use. I've been using it for the past few weeks now, and I really like it. Been gaming with it among typing and everything like that. If you do want to hear what it sounds like, we do have a sound test on the website. So check that out if you want to hear what it sounds like. I think it has a good sound, not the best sound that I've heard out of a keyboard, obviously, but a very good sound, and it feels very good as well. Like I said, this is made to be a gaming keyboard, so it's not going to have, I feel like gaming keyboards, because they have the more linear switches, it's not going to sound as good as like a true typing sort of mechanical keyboard, but it does sound really, really good. And when it comes down to price, this is not cheap. When it first launched, it launched for $249, which is expensive.
Yeah.
Currently it's $199.
Still up there.
It's definitely up there. And I have to say, like, a lot of people just want a really good gaming keyboard, and all of those accessories that I talked about in the beginning, it would be nice if there was a version of this keyboard without any of that. I don't want any of that. If you can get me down to $150 with that, I would definitely be happy, for sure. Just because, like I said, even $200 for a keyboard that is just a normal mechanical keyboard. Everybody keeps on talking about, obviously, the magnetic switch keyboards that allow you to set your actuation points and things like that, especially for gamers. You know, just $200's a lot for a keyboard, especially not a full size keyboard. So I would like a version of this keyboard without any of the, you know, accessories. I just don't, as a pure gamer who's not really into mechanical changing switches, looping switches, doesn't want to do any of that. Just the keyboard for $150, I'd definitely be happy with. But I did give it a 9 out of 10. I do think it is a really good keyboard. And they've done a lot of things that we see with really custom keyboards. They kind of put into this. Wireless works great. No issues with that. You can use it Bluetooth. The screen is cool. And again, the screen is helpful. I feel when they put screens on keyboards, they're really distracting. This isn't at all. And it's just a good overall keyboard. So definitely check it out. Like I said, it is expensive, but I do think if you are going to use it for all of the reasons that we talked about, it's going to be a good investment for you there. So, so yeah, from there, we'll move on to this little guy. This little thing right here. This is a little block. It's, my little M.2.
Products have screens on them this week.
Yeah, products do have screens on them this week. So this is a little M.2 enclosure. This is from a company called DockCase, and I love these little M.2 2230 SSD enclosures. You know, M.2 2230s are becoming really popular because a lot of your gaming handhelds, all that are super popular, are actually making use of these drives. So a lot of companies are making them. They're becoming a lot more affordable and just a lot more out there. So we have these little enclosures. So this little enclosure is really, really cool. Let's go to the actual screen part, because I know you guys just want to see that, because it has a screen on it. Like, how cool is having this? Like, you know, when you plug this in, it has a screen on it. So it's going to show you, you know, the drive that you have installed, how, you know, the total terabyte of that drive, the life of the drive, and then your transfer speeds. And then as you transfer, like, say I'm transferring a file, this will pop up on the screen and it's going to show you in real time, you know, how much read, how much write. So that's pretty cool. And then if it's kind of hard to see probably in the stream, but it will also show you the temperature of your drive, how you're connected. So we're connected 10 gigabits per second, and then how much power is going into the drive as well. And then you can actually, there's a button on this, so you can go into menus and you can see like full SSD information. So this is showing me the name of the drive, the serial number, the capacity, the firmware, all that kind of stuff, remaining life, power on, power cycles, all that kind of stuff on the actual SSD that's installed. The information on the case, and you can change some settings and all that on the actual drive itself. And there's even a system monitor that will show you your temperature as well as your voltage in real time. So this is like a real-time graph, which is really cool there as well. So you get all of that, which is awesome. And for those wondering, you can also rotate the screen. So if the screen is one way and you don't like it, you can rotate it each way, which is kind of cool too. So it's cool to have this nice little screen, and getting your drive in here is extremely easy. So on the back, the entire thing besides the screen on the front is made of aluminum. So the back is sort of fashioned much like a heatsink to give you a little bit better cooling. And then you just open it up. You can see there's your M.2 2230 slot. And there is a thermal pad right here. You just, you know, open it up and then you go ahead and put in your drive. So here is it open. And then you just put in your drive, close it, and you're good to go. Super easy to go ahead and do. Now, this is USB 3.2 Gen 2. So you're going to get about 1,000 megabytes a second read and write. And as you can see in our testing, you know, we got just that. Now, obviously, your speed is going to depend on what you install in here and what type of system you connect this to. But for most people, you should get 1,000 megabytes a second read and write. Super awesome little cool little drive. I really like it. I think it's cool. I think that we're only going to see these get cooler and cooler with the things that they're adding to them. And for somebody who doesn't want to just buy that portable SSD, this is a really cool thing to have, I think. And typically, you know, your portable SSDs are slightly bigger than this in some ways, while this is thicker. Like, if we look at, this is the Crucial X10. So the Crucial X10, it is thinner than this. So, you know, it's a bit thinner, but this is much smaller per se. So these end up being a lot smaller than your typical, you know, than your typical portable SSD that you buy. And the best thing about this is that you can upgrade this down the line. So say initially you install a 512 gigabyte drive in here initially, that runs out, or you fill that up, you can put in a 2 terabyte in here. So this goes up to 2 terabytes. And you can actually just swap out M.2, you know, little M.2s as well. You don't need to buy a whole new thing if you don't really want to. So I really like that about it. It's $49.99 right now on Amazon. The only thing that I really wish was, like, and again, this is kind of reaching, but like to be able to customize the screen, put a logo on there, kind of do kind of what you want. But that's kind of what the screen's kind of made to do, one thing. But maybe eventually we'll get one where we can really customize what's on the screen. But I really like it. I gave it a 9 out of 10. So definitely go ahead and check that review out
And I was looking, they make a larger one as well. So, like, you know, that smaller form factor isn't as common. Like, I've got extra 2280 drives, right? But I don't have any of the small size. So they've also got one that's a little larger, the dot case, I think Explorer Edition. It supports those larger SSDs. So if you thought this was something cool and you've got some extra larger drives laying around, check that out too.
They also sell card readers that have the screen on it as well, which is kind of cool too. So
we got a bunch of cool stuff.
Yeah. So definitely check out Dot Case and you know, their enclosures. They have some cool stuff. So we'll move on to CaseMod Friday. And we have a really cool build done by Mark's Fabrication. Inside the Dubilly case from Inwin, and this is a copper theme build, and as you can see, it's all copper, so
it looks like a lot of work.
All copper tubing and all that throughout, and then he's obviously designed the case with all copper as well. But the copper tubing is obviously, for me, that's the really cool part. But he has some gold fittings on here from what's that, Bitspower, it looks like.
I think,
yeah.
And then like some pressure gauges or flow meters, it looks like.
A bunch of them. This is really cool. You can see, have you ever bent stuff like this, Ryan?
Well, I mean, those fittings you don't bend. Do they have any bends in the copper?
No, I don't think there's any bends. You're right.
Yeah, I think all of it was fittings.
Yeah.
See, now that I think that's actually just, I think that case has an aluminum frame there. They probably just like, well, it's not powder coated. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if those are custom pieces of the case.
To go around there.
But
that would be expensive to do in like all copper, I would think.
Yeah. You're probably right. But yeah, I really like just like the cool, like, whenever we see, and we call these old school now, but I mean, the early days of water cooling, that's what a lot of people did. Was with the
copper. Yeah, I mean, there was anything
There are like some bends here, right here.
Are you sure? No, I think there's those fittings on the tops
of
those.
Okay, you could be right.
Was that a thermometer? An inline thermometer? I couldn't tell. It almost looked like it said that in the previous picture you were on. Or maybe... Yeah, I couldn't... Thermometer. Yeah, thermometer. Okay, so it's measuring temperature. That's cool.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, so that's right here. Yeah, this is just a really cool, like, just old. I mean, again, we call it old school, but it's really not necessarily. But it's this old, you know, sort of just
cool. Almost steampunk, right?
Yeah, not full steampunk because it's just inside the case. But I really like it. And like I said, you have bits of power, water cooling everywhere. Yeah, some really good stuff. So shout outs to Mark, and he had. If you guys try to find, I think at what booth was it at Computex? The Klev booth, K-L-E-V-V. At their booth, he had another really old school steampunk type build that was amazing. I will probably feature it here in a couple of weeks. But he had some really cool builds at Computex. So yeah, shout out to him. Check out this build for sure. I feel like they're just like street racing outside of my house. I don't know if you can hear that, but
I sure can.
Yeah, it just like I don't know. I feel like it's like street racing time outside of my place. But yeah, we also have old peeps in the house. We're just we're just podcasting, man. It's Wednesday. Lots of tech to talk about. We are going to go from CaseMod Friday to our news of the week. We're going to cover some things that I thought were really cool at Computex, kind of wrapping up everything. Like I said earlier, there's so much we didn't cover all of it because it's literally impossible. But like I said, there are a ton of other websites if you guys want to check those out because there's a lot of stuff. Now, this might be, Ryan, one of the best looking back connect motherboards that I've seen. Now, we've only seen back connect motherboards from MSI and Asus. Yep. Those are the only ones so far. Mm-hmm. But Gigabyte's get in the mix, and they showed off this board right here. This is the B650E Aorus Stealth Ice, and it looks awesome, I think.
It reminds me, it harkens back to that first NZXT motherboard we saw.
Yeah,
right?
Where I was thinking that as well.
I mean, you got your CPU, you've got your DIMMs, and you got your graphics card slot. Everything else is covered.
Yeah, completely covered.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, so this is a B650E.
I kind of want my computer to look like a computer, though, right? Like, I like seeing those things, not just a blank slate. Put a screen on it, I guess, if you're gonna.
Yeah, like right here, this big open spot needs to be a screen. We'll eventually get there. Like, this first generation will just, you know, look nice, and then after that, we're gonna get the screen on here. It will be a lot of stuff going on. I feel
I got some choppiness from you. Your video's dead, so I don't know if it's me or you. But
I think it's you.
It might be.
Yeah, I look fine on my end, but you know.
Well, of course.
But yeah, here's the back of the board. As you can see, you know, all your connections will be on the back. As we see more motherboard manufacturers getting into this, I do think this will be the standard going forward, like the actual standard, like maybe in 2 years. I mean, we're already seeing, you know, case manufacturers, you know, pretty much all the new cases do support the back connect motherboards. So do you think this is going to be the standard going forward?
Sorry, I only caught the last sentence. So I don't know. I have hope for it, and I think it's neat. I'm just not sold on it just yet. Like I said at the beginning of this, when we started talking about this, like, I like seeing my components in there, and like, but I can get to the also understand that, like, maybe a new generation coming through is like, why do we have to see all these parts? I just want it to, like, do its thing. But then why do we even have windows on cases, right? If you're just gonna smooth everything out. Just,
well, I mean, it's mostly just connections, right? It's mostly like, yeah, your power connectors. Yeah, I know, like, we have the nice cables now and stuff, but, like, yeah, you know, your SATA cables, your power connectors.
Yeah, there's no reason for them to be on the front. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it would be interesting to see in a couple years, like, if this is actually the standard going forward. But I do think for, like, the first one that Gigabyte has shown,
that's pretty good entry. Yeah,
yeah, it's a really good entry into the space. So really cool. And if you didn't notice, Ryan, it's kind of hard to see because most of the PCB is covered, but it's a white PCB as well.
I did see that, yeah.
So definitely.
And is that the release lever there for?
Yeah.
Like a button? Okay.
Yeah, so you just push this and this releases this right here. So
great.
Yeah, really cool to see. No word on when this will be out. Expected price is $299 to $329. So yeah, definitely. I'm just waiting for everybody to do what Asus does with the power connector on the graphics card. And I don't know if Asus has a patent on that yet, but that's when I think it will be perfect, because then you don't have to worry about connecting any power to your graphics card or any more cables. It's just one kind of solid thing. So we'll see if that actually, like I said, becomes the normal thing. Also on the motherboard front at Computex, we had ASRock basically showed off their entire line of X870E and X870 motherboards. Like, they had them all. So it's kind of what you expect if you know ASRock's product line. So you have an X870E Tai Chi. I honestly am not necessarily the biggest fan of this Tai Chi look right now. I don't know about you, Ryan.
I wonder if it's like the reflection, right, we're getting off of that panel there that makes it look odd. I don't necessarily mind it. It's I do like, you know, I liked the gears that they had on previous versions of Tai Chi. And there's still some gear stuff, right? Like, in that panel, there's some gears there. I don't necessarily mind it.
Okay. And it looks like they're adding an easy release latch too. It's the first time I've seen on an ASRock product. Everybody's on that
now.
Yeah, so everybody's doing that, which is good to see. Of course, X870E and X870 will all have USB 4. Mm-hmm. And you'll get two of them, which is nice. So you have two right here, and that's going to be standard on all the boards, which is definitely going to be nice to see. And then last generation, of course, ASRock released their Tai Chi Lite, which is sort of the same thing, but more of a streamlined version. Almost the exact same feature set, just like not as nice of look. But I don't know if I like the look of this one more. I don't know. It doesn't have like the easy latch. It probably is missing some other features, but it's going to be less expensive.
Yeah, I think I like the other one better, but.
Okay. Yeah, and then that one has like RGB. There's no RGB up here, you know.
Sure. That heatsink I'm not a big fan of.
This one?
Next to the 24 pin next to the 24.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But yeah, so that is the X870E Tai Chi Lite. And then the newer, pretty much flagship of the Phantom gaming line is called Nova. So we have the X870E Nova Wi-Fi. That is going to give you, of course, Wi-Fi 7, 24 or 23 phase power design on this one. I think this is a pretty good looking board. This also has that easy release latch here as well. So that is moving down the line. And then right below that is the Riptide X870. So non-E will be the Riptide Wi-Fi. Again, decent looking. I think, like I said, I just wish Asus would cover more of the board. But again, that's going to be covered by your graphics card, so not necessarily the biggest deal, I'd say. And then, of course, the Steel Legend, which I think is going to be one of their best-selling boards, because this time with the Steel Legend, we are getting a white PCB. So all white here, as you can see, which is really awesome to see.
I wish we'd get like white plastic on the like dim slots and others. Like how slots. Much? Yeah. But whatever.
We'll eventually get it. We'll eventually get them to do everything that we want. There,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, but yeah,
we gotta go to Computex and tell them though, right?
Yeah, like why don't you make this all white? But yeah, so that is the X870 Steel Legend. Again, the Steel Legend is one of their more affordable lines, so this shouldn't be incredibly expensive. And then you have the X870 Pro RS Wi-Fi, which is part of their Pro series, which again, it should be decently affordable. Again, white PCB here. This one has more of like a kind of gray design on it, but it's good to see the white PCBs because again, there was only a couple companies really making them and they were very few and far between. So nice to see ASRock come out with these. Old man in the chat says, I think ASRock always has the most SATA ports for some reason. I was looking at boards recently and a lot of them have 6 to 8 ports. Yeah, they've always had, you remember like 3 or 4 years ago, they had that board with like, I think 12 SATA ports on it. I think I still have that picture somewhere. I forget what board it was, but they had a board with like 12 SATA ports on it. It was pretty crazy.
It's a lot.
But yeah, so that's all of ASRock's X870E and X870 motherboards. Good lineup for sure to see. From there, this was pretty interesting and I like it, but I don't necessarily see a point of it, sort of. So MSI had this M.2 expander Aero Gen 5 expansion card, and it looks like a graphics card, as you can see. But what it actually does, what it actually is these are little blades of an M.2, and you put the blades in, so they're hot swappable, and you swap them in and out. I like the idea, but like, are you hot swapping drives that much?
I mean, I guess if you're like some like creator and you're working with really big files, right? And maybe you don't have network attached storage that supports the speeds that you need in order to like move these in and out, or there may be a work case for it, right? And I can see it in that. It is a cool technology though. I mean, I think it's neat, and I did think it was a graphics card at first as well. I was like, it's kind of like that Asus card with the M.2 slot on it.
Yeah, that's what I thought initially as well.
But no, I think it's cool. Just like use case for it, it seems very niche right now.
Yeah, it does seem very niche. And honestly, I think for a swappable, like in a real usage setting, you'd want 4, not 2.
That and like out back, like what? Now I got to get behind there with the cables and like,
yes, true.
Make sure I got it plugged in. Like,
yeah, because a lot of these like swappable front, right? Hard drive things, typically they're like Thunderbolt or USB based, and they're like Western Digital makes the one, and I think who else makes the other? I forget who makes the other one, but like they do have blades that are like drives that you pull in and out. Yeah. They're like SSDs. It's cool to see in it. Like I said, it looks like a graphics card, so it looked decent in your system. And it has the fan to keep everything cool as well. But I just, like, for a practical use case, for I just don't see it for, like, an ordinary person. Because, you know, you're loading at least 2 M.2 SSDs on your motherboard, right? And then, you know, beyond that, like, you have a couple 2.5-inch SSDs, maybe even one spinner. Like, are you actually swapping out M.2 SSDs? I just don't think
I can see this like in a production studio or something, or like, you know, a small creative house where it's like you might need to share it with somebody else, and if they've got another one of these, like pop them in and out. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Like it's probably just easier to have a external 3.2x2
type of scenario. Something. Yeah. So pretty cool though. We talked about this when it was first announced. We thought it was a April Fool's joke, but it was not. Asus was showing their ROG Modulinar portable gaming UPS. It's going to give you 1 hour of gaming on an RTX 4080 gaming system. So if you're in the middle of your raid, you can at least get to a point where you can stop, you know, or something. You know, it's real. This is what it looks like. This is actually a detachable flashlight, which I think is pretty cool.
Okay, good. It comes off.
Yeah,
like, it's not very practical off. For.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's 768 watt hours, which is a lot for one of these. Four ports here, four power ports plus 2 type C's and 2 type A's. And a USB type B, which is, I don't know what that's for.
I bet it's for like software monitoring, right? Like, cause a lot of like APC, UPSs and stuff, you can plug a USB cable into it, put some software on your system, and then you can have that trigger actions and things like that.
Yeah, probably. But like I said, it's real. Like I said, they said it will give you 1 hour. So if you had like a 4080 powered system, it will give you 1 hour. So I think that's good. Like, I don't, what are like most UPSs? Like, what do they give you?
I can tell you, I've got 10 minutes on my small one, but it's, I mean, it's pretty small. It's not this size, obviously, right? Yeah.
Like, I think, well, obviously, you know,
depending back on what when, you got, you know, an hour maybe.
Yeah. So, an hour on gaming on an RTX 4080 is pretty impressive for like a UPS.
Right.
So, I do like that. And obviously, if you wanted to, you could take this with you like camping or any of those things, because it's, you know, it works just like any of the other portable batteries and things like that. So pretty interesting to see. No release date or pricing.
Solar recharging. I wonder what their options are for that. Yeah, if they offer a solar panel accessory, or
most of them, they'll just have the port, and then all the solar panels sort of have the same connector. It'd be interesting to see how much, how, like, if you had a 100-watt panel, is it going to give you the 100 watts, or is it going to give you like 65? Because like a lot of these, it will only be like 30 watts in or 60 watts in, for a solar panel. So it'll be interesting to see, but yeah, pretty interesting. That's cool. Product. I'd still say it's very, very, just like the last product, very niche for Asus. Yeah. I'd say, but I think if you're like in the market for a UPS and you're like a hardcore gamer, and you, again, like how mad would you be if you're in the middle of a raid playing WoW and
Better have your router and modem hooked into this thing too.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. But then, like I said, if the power goes out, yeah, I don't know if it would even.
And your monitor.
Well, all that, but like just your internet infrastructure is all going to be down too.
Right. Yeah.
So, but it's a good thing to have.
Single player. It's for single player gaming.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but like I said, it's an interesting product to say the least. So, that was pretty cool at Computex. And another thing that we had talked about earlier this year, and it was really, really interesting. We got some more light was shed on this product. If the page would load, I don't know why it's not loading. Maybe my internet is slow. I don't know why. Here it goes. So this is from Trix. This is our Panorama SE. We have talked about this. It has the AMOLED screen that goes sort of all around. Like this. Now, the thing that's interesting about this is that Tech Power Up was able to get some close-up shots of this. So as you can see, the screen is actually sort of like a module that sits on top of the pump block. And there is a 60 millimeter fan there as well. And you can see all the connectors here for everything. Now, the really interesting thing about it is that unlike all the other AIOs that we've seen that have a screen, this one uses HDMI to connect to your graphics card. So you can essentially use this as a second screen.
That's
a
second screen. That's cool. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I think that opens up the possibility because just like you reviewed a handful of the ones with the screens, and it's like, you could put a GIF, you could maybe play a movie, or you could put something on there. But to have this as an actual secondary screen, that opens up the possibility of creating your own A64 layouts on there. You could essentially game on this. I believe this is a 1080p screen, so you can essentially game on it.
Just wrapped around, yeah.
Yeah, but it would, obviously not make sense, but like you could do a lot with it. I think it opens up more possibilities, so that's really cool to see.
Go back to the portion where they had it pulled off. So that, like, the first thing I thought of when I saw this design and like they have the piece pulled off there, you can see, is this looks almost, it's so similar to the Asus design with the magnets and that connection on the pump housing and the base.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have my Asus review pulled up here as well, and it's like it's almost like the same OEM, right? Asus got it first, right?
Yeah.
And maybe had the lock on this type of design for X amount of months or whatever, and then others have gained access to it, but it's very similar, magnetically held on pogo style, or contacts for the screen and LED lighting. But yeah, it's still cool either way.
Maybe even if it is like patented by Asus, they got around it by making this HDMI and not
right. Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because you can see where that cable comes off. Like the cable is right here.
That looks even different. It's so much taller. That pump, like that fan, that one has a fan. You go to the other one.
Yeah. Maybe there's a, maybe, the
other fan, right?
Yeah. Maybe this is like an optional, like the fan is optional. So you could install the fan that looks like this, right?
Right.
But also that can just go on by itself without the mm-hmm. fan.
Yeah.
That maybe that's. Yeah, a thing as well. So, like I said, that's like so much Computex stuff. It's like we're kind of just getting, there's not a lot of information. We kind of just have to go off what the pictures show us a lot of times. But I do like that it connects via HDMI. I think it opens up the possibilities. The curved, I'd have to really see it in a case to see if it's like the good viewing angle that you would actually want. But I do like it. I think it's cool.
Like old man said, it'd look cool in the new Fantex Evolve X2 case because it's like the same kind of like look and feel, right?
Yeah.
I agree. That would be cool.
Yeah, that'd look really cool. So cool to see. Hopefully we see Trix come more to the United States. I don't think their stuff is sold in the United States yet. But it would be cool to see if it does. We always like to see new companies, what they can do, obviously performance as well as other things. And obviously, stuff like this just pushes the boundaries even more. so that other people like the Asus, like the NZXT, like Corsair, they have to keep on pushing the envelope. And I definitely like that. So cool to see from them. The last thing that I wanted to talk about from Computex was, you know, we haven't talked about Intel Arc in a while because
it's true.
Underwhelming, and you know, only a handful of people are making them, which the company that made the comeback was Sparkle, because they weren't making graphics cards for a while, but they re-entered with Intel Arc cards, and they were showing an Intel Arc card that had a hidden power connector. And now this is what makes it interesting to me. They had a BTF concept. So BTF is, of course, Asus owned. And this is an Intel Arc BTF card because it has the power connector down here. This was a concept, but it's really interesting that Asus is allowing this. Now, Asus does not make Intel Arc cards. So yeah, maybe that's why they're allowing this to happen. But maybe in the future, they allow everybody to make a BTF graphics card.
Sure, they license that technology to them. Sure.
Yeah, maybe they're just licensing it to Sparkle now, or even as a concept, because they don't make any, you know.
Right, they're not direct competition.
Yeah.
But, as far as Intel cards go.
But, or maybe they eventually will open it up so everybody can have a BTF card. You know, especially if we're going to, if we're going to the standardization of the back connect motherboards. Do you think there would have to be some type of lawsuit that would be like, I can't, you know, if this is the standard, I can't use the graphics card that I want. So they have to open that up eventually. Yeah.
Maybe I think not yet. Only if you took away like the other options, right? Like if a standard, you know, PCIe 8-pin wasn't available, right? Or whatever. Like,
yeah,
you could run into that.
But it's pretty cool to see somebody else, another company, making use of the BTF connector. Again, I think at least currently it's only because Asus does not make Intel Arc cards, but yeah, interesting to see. And you know, that's what it looks like. So you can't see the power there. There is no power connector because it's power is going directly through the actual motherboard. And of course this is the Asus TUF BTF motherboard. So yeah, really, really cool to see that there as well. They also showed a liquid cooled card, but I don't think many people are liquid cooling their Intel Arc card. But yeah, pretty interesting stuff from Computex. Like I said, there is literally so much stuff. Like I said, Tech Power Up's good. There's a bunch of websites that have so much information on Computex, a lot more than what we covered. But yeah, definitely, like I said, definitely a lot of really cool stuff. Moving on to graphics cards. It looks like we could be getting a Radeon RX 8000 RDNA4 graphics card. It was spotted in shipping, which I don't know how people pull these, but we have they're a Navi 48 in here, which obviously is going to be part of the newer Radeon series. Now, there's going to be Navi 48, Navi 44. I don't know how many cards are going to be derived from those two chips. Not sure, but we might get at least a smaller series from AMD on this next run, which I'm a fan of, but I'm not a fan, Oh, like I said, I don't like having like 10 cards in a series, but right,
but you want more than three.
Yeah, and this is going to be two GPUs, at least currently from what we know. And that's not a lot of cards to carve out of two GPUs. But it looks like, again, these are going to be coming, you know, spot in the shipping manifest. So I think anymore, I don't necessarily get excited about graphics cards when we see stuff like this. I think once we see it, like we see a leaked photo or something of the actual card, then I get it. Like even RTX 5090, like nobody's really all that excited until you see a leaked image.
There's just so much that's up in the air. Like we can speculate all we want, and we do it year after year after year. Maybe we're just like becoming jaded, and it's like, I'm not going to speculate anymore until we see something more official.
But on the graphics card front, we have a game bundle. So game bundle is back for AMD. So you have a, if you have a RX 7800 XT or 7700 XT, there is a new game bundle here. So unless you're in Japan, which you only get one game, but most people, if you purchase one of these cards, you can pick two out of the four games. So there's Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, Starfield, Company of Heroes 3, and Lies of P. I've only heard of the middle two, so those would be my picks. What would you pick?
Yeah, probably the middle two. I mean, I've heard of Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, but yeah, I'd probably go with the middle two as well.
Yeah. But yeah, it's good to see Game Bundle. We haven't had one in a while, and
yeah, they did this games quite a bit, you know, in the last couple years or previous releases. And I think it's a great like value for a customer,
especially Starfield. I mean, that was like at the, I mean,
that was a premier game.
Yeah, it was a very premier. It's nice to see a premier game. Remember when like there was a time where like, oh, we'll give you like in-game content. That's like not even great. It was like,
it's like just more marketing for them inside of a game.
Yeah, it was like a Fortnite. It's like, oh, we'll give you some Fortnite skins. Like, no, like we actually want like a game that I would have had to buy. You know what I mean?
I think the last one I got that was like a value was when I bought my GTX 970 and it came with Witcher 3.
Yeah, that's a good game.
Yeah.
A lot of people on social, when we posted our video about our favorite games, they were talking about Witcher a lot.
Interesting.
Should have picked Witcher. You should have picked Skyrim. A lot of people said that about those games. So, but yeah, good to see a gaming bundle there. Wow, we're really big.
Hello.
Yeah, look at us. Maybe we should do it like this. Honestly, I think we should do it like this.
Really?
It makes me look skinnier, I feel.
Okay.
Well, let's see. Wait. Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know.
We'll leave it like this. We'll see. You see less of my dirty room, so.
It's true.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like it. So, also, Be Quiet did announce a new CPU cooler, and I really like this. So this is their Darkrock 5, not to be confused with their Darkrock Pro 5. The big difference here is that you're going to get a single tower cooler instead of a dual tower. So the Darkrock Pro 5 is dual fan. This is single fan. Making it a lot easier to install for the end user, should have really good performance. And of course, that all black look from Be Quiet. So I believe this has their new fan on it, just like the Darkrock Pro 5. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 heats, not heat sinks, 6 heat pipes on here as well. Their patent flow design on the back. I definitely like that. I want to see like a resurgence of like really good big single tower coolers, because all the big, like the big high ones are always dual fan, dual tower. I just want like good single tower, like high performance competing with the dual tower. So it'll be interesting to see. Maybe we'll get one of these to review and see what it can do. But that's new from Be Quiet. I don't know if we have price is $69.90. So it is up there in price,
up there,
as far,
right.
You know, as well. So, and it's, yeah, 161 millimeters tall. So that makes it a
pretty taller. Decent size. Yeah. Looked like it was offset a little bit to
have some
clearance as well.
Clearance, yeah. Also, gaming handhelds. So Microsoft had an interview and they talked about a gaming handheld that has local play ability, meaning that you could play games specifically on it. You're not streaming from your Xbox. I think they needed to just like, again, as much as we don't think the gaming handheld market is exploding, it really is, because we had the Steam Deck and then we had the ROG Ally. Now we have the MSI one. Now, what did we see last week? We saw Antec,
Lenovo has one.
Lenovo, Antec, Lenovo, ADATA has one, and then you have all the other third-party ones and all the other ones. Gaming handhelds are becoming incredibly popular, and I really think that if Xbox could come out with their own gaming handheld, again, that's not a streaming device, so you have to be close to your Xbox or whatever, that it would natively play Xbox titles or have you know, something like that, where like you would pay a decent amount of money for this, same, around the same price you would pay for an ROG Ally or something like that. They play your Xbox titles. I think that they would have a home run if they design it correctly and had a great team behind it. I think it would make sense for them.
I think it'd be cool if you did play it, like if you're at home and it would stream to this from your Xbox, right? So you get a really like a better experience there. Yes. But then if you were away, you know, you're playing locally or whatever. So
yeah,
that would be very
yeah.
cool.
I think
Zotac was another company that's
yeah. Zotac was the other company. But yeah, it just makes sense. I don't know why Microsoft hasn't done it yet. PlayStation has some of their portables, and I just think it would make sense. And I think obviously being as big as Microsoft is, the Xbox team, they should do it.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
But yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they would do it, and are they going to, I would assume they would be designing it, that they're not going to go with like an OEM or anything like that, but at the same time, maybe they don't, because they're like, oh, there's already Windows-based.
Well, weren't they wanting gaming to get out of the whole like Xbox like
yeah.
manufacturing, right? So maybe this is one of their first forays into it. Don't do it. With
and do they like limit like Xbox Game Pass, and like do they limit other games that can be played on gaming handhelds? You know what I mean? Like it's all big possibilities. So it would be interesting to see what happens with that. I would love to see it, just because I think gaming handhelds are super cool. I would never use one in a lot, but I think they're really, really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, guys, that is it for news for this week. Coming up next week, I'm taking a look at a new case that was showed off at Computex. And we did talk about it for a second last week. The Mood from Fractal Design. So this is a small form factor, almost looks like an Xbox. It looks very much like an Xbox, but it has this, it's kind of hard to see in the black version. I have the black version, but they do have a white version or a gray version. It almost looks like a speaker. Like it looks like a
Sonos or something.
Yeah. Sonos or something. It's really well made. So I will have that review for you guys next week. Might have some other stuff, but I'm working on this case review and I want to get this done for you guys. So I will have that for you guys next week. And then the question of the week is, you know, after seeing everything at Computex, you know, and if you guys in the chat want to answer as well, like what, is there anything that you are looking forward to this, the rest of this year going into next year? Is there anything that maybe you saw at Computex you want to see more of, or like anything on your end, Ryan?
No, unfortunately, not really. Like there wasn't like one product that I like specifically,
or just like the, is there anything excited that you see the market going towards that you're like, oh, I hope they keep on doing that? Or
no, I'm honestly, like I was kind of upset to see so many more cases continuing the clone of the O11 look. Yeah. Like everybody's got one now and nothing seemed new. But no, I feel like we're in a spot where like things are progressing, like we're getting faster drives, right? We've got Gen 5 now. We've got, you know, we're going to get new CPUs. We're going to get new GPUs, but nothing feels like groundbreaking yet. I mean, the newest, like different things so far is right, those stealth or the BTF types of connections for motherboards and cases. But outside of that, no, not really, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean you're very much right. There's not a whole lot. I do. While I was, if you go back to like when we first saw BTF, I was not a fan. But after working with those type of boards, they do make a lot of sense. So I do like to see that. And obviously, like I'm always excited for new motherboards, right? To see what we kind of get on these new boards. But it's all going to be very much the same. You're just getting. We're not getting like a big, like some big new thing. Of course, you're going to see USB 4, which is essentially Thunderbolt, you know, on there. And like, you're going to see Wi-Fi 7 become standard. But beyond that, you're not seeing a whole lot. Maybe we will see something really cool on like a super high-end board from any of the companies. But I don't see anything coming up that I'm super excited about. Like I said, with the graphics cards, and the CPUs. It's like, let us see it. Let us actually see stuff with it.
Yeah. I mean, some of the monitor technology is cool, right? We're seeing more OLED stuff, fast LED, right? Fast OLED. So those are exciting.
Yeah. I think it's just more of the same. Maybe we're just getting older, Ryan. Maybe that's it. We're getting old.
It might be.
That could be it. We're just getting old, and then things.
We're aging out of the target demographic.
Yeah, I know we are. I'm gonna be 40 this year, man.
Yeah.
So yeah. Like I said, I think this year was a good year for Computex. There was a lot to be shown. It'll be a fun upcoming year coming into holiday season. We'll see a lot of those products that were shown at Computex come out. So definitely stay tuned. We'll be reviewing a handful of new products that were shown at Computex as well. Old Man in the chat said Marvel's Midnight Suns is free on Epic until tomorrow. So if you guys are listening now or in the live stream, it is a $60 game that is free right now on Epic till tomorrow.
I just grabbed it right now.
So it is Wednesday. So if you're listening to this on Thursday, you're going to miss it. So definitely grab that as well. Old Man did say the new RAM format is interesting with the Cam2 memory that mounts flat. Obviously, that's going to help a lot out with BTF designs as well and a lot of other stuff. And maybe we will see like a big screen on an AIO that goes across that whole section of the motherboard.
Yeah.
Who knows? So the Cam2 stuff's interesting. We'll see. That it is interesting to see how things are changing a little bit, though. The back connect motherboards, the Cam2 memory, like what you know, it's because it's completely different, so it's a lot to look. I'm not much look forward to, but it's just interesting to see things change a little bit. So, anything else tech related that you want to talk about? Anything worth watching?
So, let's see here. Last week, Old Man in the chat.
You did get that.
Yeah, I can. Let's do this. I'll share this real quick here.
I almost did it, but I was just like, I have too many, so I didn't buy.
I get it. Tipped us off to the Hex Gears E2 Pro wireless mechanical keyboard, and last week it was $19.99, and so I bought this. The 83 key version with red switches for $20, and I've been using it this week at work. I don't know how this thing can be $20 or even $25 right now because it's wireless. It has 2.4 gigahertz dongle, right? Bluetooth 5.0, wired Type-C with a removable Type-C cable, obviously. Hot swappable switches. They're Kale Reds is what I got mine with.
Okay, he said...
Oh, this uses EpoMaker switches? I thought this was Kale switches.
Yeah, I mean, might be different versions.
Mine had Kale because I took them
out. And they're the box switch too?
Yeah, switches.
Oh, nice.
Double shot PBT keycaps, RGB lighting. Just like it comes with the pullers. It comes with like everything.
And it comes with the wrist rest? It comes with the wrist rest?
Comes with the wrist rest that's magnetically connected.
Yeah, bring up the picture of the keyboard. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've enjoyed it for the time I've been with it. I have no complaints for $20. Like, you just can't complain when it's a $20 keyboard. It's got, like, look at these layers right here, right? It's like the image you showed of the Asus.
Yeah.
Right? You got your silicone pads, gas, you know, all sorts of great features on this thing. So, really happy with it. So, definitely check. Worth at least checking
Ryan, out. Ryan, if you want to put your link in the chat so people can the Amazon link in the chat so people can pick it up for sure. Because that is I saw it. I was like, I just have too many keyboards that I just couldn't. But for $20 or it's $25 now, it's still a really great deal. And like I said, like if you go on Amazon and look for keyboards around like $30-$40. Like there, most of them are like dome or scissor switches, not mechanical switches, not hot swappable, not wireless, and not 2.4 gigahertz wireless. You might be able to find a Bluetooth one, but that's going to be horrible for gaming. So really, really cool to see that. Did you put it in the chat?
I'm about to.
But yeah, shout out to Old Man for mentioning that, because he said he picked it up and we were like, we couldn't believe it was that cheap. And now that, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. And then I had one other, our last like month or so, this internet provider that's kind of a rural provider has been moving actually into town and running fiber. And then, of course, as soon as AT&T heard that, they're like, oh, well, we better put fiber in too, right? So, of course, they didn't want to put anything in until the competition came around. And then they're like, oh, yeah, we should do it too. Anyhow, our neighborhood is going to have pretty soon here the ability to have up to 2.5 gig fiber in the neighborhood. And the HOA president down the street from me negotiated some better rates. So the what do you think a 2.5 or first off gig, you know, up and down gig per month, the normal price, what do you think the normal price is?
The normal price is $80.
Okay. So it's 89, right?
Oh, it's more.
Our negotiated price is $70 though.
Oh, that's not bad. It'll go up in 2 years. Believe me.
It might. And yeah. Then, but they haven't had price raises in the last 7 years, just FYI. So anyhow,
they just raised my price $10.
2.5 gigahertz is usually 140. Okay. It'll be 110.
Which one are you going to get?
I don't know now. I need to look at my dream machine, because I don't remember if it takes has a 2.5 gig WAN. I'm pretty sure it does. I don't remember now. If it does, like, I might as well just go with that. But they do what's called CG NAT, carrier grade NAT, which kind of kills off some services that I run without some workarounds. So I need to see if that's an option for me, and if it is, it may have like an extra cost, so I may just go with the gig plan, and so that I can not have that extra
but
I'm excited.
Since I moved to California, I had access to AT&T's 1 gig, and it's been amazing. I haven't had really any issues with it. I started at 70. They raised the price to 80 recently, out of nowhere. But still, for 80 for 1 gig compared to what I was paying for like 200, 300 on Comcast was just, you know. And then Comcast always maybe not as much recently, but like 3 or 4 years ago, you had to get, they like had it, so you had to get cable. Like you had to get a basic cable plan.
You had to be bundled.
Yeah. Like you had to be bundled. So they've gotten away from that, because obviously all the streaming services and people are like, I don't want cable. But for a while you had to get a bundle, and it was just like such crap. So, but yeah, no, I've been a fan of AT&T. No issues. So that's nice, man. You'll finally have fast internet. So exactly. It won't take you forever to like, you know, load shaders and do all the stuff in games. So.
Right.
That's right. So, all right, guys. Well, we are going to continue gaming. Our buddy Shuni is going to be on with us tonight. Hopefully, I believe so. Over on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. That's where we do our gaming stream. Ryan will be hosting that stream. So head on over there. He will have the stream up momentarily, and then we'll get to some gaming for a few hours. So if you want to hang out with us there, we'll be playing Apex Legends. It's always a good time. But of course, you know, you can check us here every Wednesday for the most part, unless Ryan and I have something crazy going on or we're on vacation. It is every Wednesday here at 5:30 Pacific. What is that? 7:30 Central. And then 8:30 East. I always get it mixed up. I don't know why, because I used to live on the East Coast, but I always get it mixed up. But yeah, we are here every Wednesday. And of course, thanks for Old Man being in the chat. Old Peeps was in the chat, as well as Corey in the chat. We appreciate you guys. And of course, everybody listening later, we appreciate you as well. So we'll see everybody next week.